Praise be Jesus and Mary. First reading in today's Mass comes from the Song of Songs, and this is the classic mystical book of the Bible that the great mystics of the saint, like St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, comment on. It's kind of seen as the height of mysticism in the scriptures. In fact, I think St. Teresa even forbid some of her sisters from reading it, you know, because they hadn't reached that state of perfection that she considered necessary in order to read and profit from it. In any case, when we read the Song of Songs, we should read in it the love that God has for the soul and the desire that he has to unite himself with the individual soul. But we should read it first and foremost in reference to Our Lady, because God has a special, particular love for Our Lady. God loves Our Lady more than anyone else, and that's why he just filled her with his grace. And in fact, we sing these words that are in today's first reading from the Song of Songs. We sing it in the Tota Pulchra, one of the versions of the Tota Pulchra in the morning, and where it talks about the winter is past and the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and all of the rest. So it talks about the beauty of Our Lady and her soul and her lover, God, his desire to unite himself with her. And it talks about springing across the mountains and leaping across the hills, and we see how that fits in with today's gospel, where Our Lady goes in haste to a hill country, and she's traveling to visit her cousin Saint Elizabeth, she with Our Lord in her womb. And the reading from this morning's Office of Readings, the commentary by St. Ambrose on this passage, is very beautiful. And he talks about, again, the particular love and union and intimacy that Our Lady has with the Holy Spirit and also with her divine Son, who she is carrying in her womb. And then he has some practical guidance also for us. He says, when John leaps for joy, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? John leaps in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth, because he is filled with the Holy Spirit. But we know that though Mary's spirit rejoices, she does not need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit after conceiving John, while Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit before conceiving the Lord. In fact, Our Lady is filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment of her Immaculate Conception. Her spouse, the Holy Spirit, could not wait a single instant to unite himself with Our Lady's soul. But from the moment of her Immaculate Conception, he is there, united in intimate union with the soul of Our Lady. And so she is already filled with the Holy Spirit when she's going to visit St. Elizabeth. So Our Lady has intimate union with the Holy Spirit, but she also has intimate union with her Son, who she's carrying in her womb. Can we imagine the recollection that Our Lady enjoys as she just conceived the Word of God in her womb? And now she's traveling in haste to the hill country of Judah. Can we imagine the recollection, the intimacy that she shares with the Word made flesh, the secret communications between the one and the other? And St. Ambrose says, her Son, who is beyond our understanding, is active in his mother, in a way beyond our understanding. We can't even understand it. We can derive fruit from meditating on it, but we will never understand the relationship, the conversation that took place between our Lord and our Lady as she's going to visit St. Elizabeth. So her son, who's beyond her, is active in his mother in a way which is also beyond our understanding. Then St. Ambrose has some guidance, some counsel for us. He says, "Let Mary's soul be in each of you to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Let her spirit be in each to rejoice in the Lord." Now this reminds me of St. Maximilian exhorting us to total consecration and to the faithful living out of that total consecration to the point of being transubstantiated into the Immaculate. Let Mary's soul be in each of you to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. See, Our Lady should possess us. St. Maximilian also talks about how consecration, total consecration, lived out to its fullness, should be similar to demonic possession. Right? Those who are possessed by demons are under their entire control. In certain cases, they have they can't even use their free will, at least in exterior actions. And so in this way, we want Our Lady to be present in our souls, to possess us, okay, to rule us, to guide us. Let her spirit be in each to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, there are some saints who talk about this mysterious, mystical presence of Our Lady in their souls. I can't remember who they are precisely. It's in, I believe, Ragazzini's book, Maria, Vita dell'Anima, Life of the Soul, Our Lady, Life of the Soul. I think St. Gemma Galgani and maybe St. Veronica Giuliani, can't remember exactly. But these mystics of the Church talk about Our Lady's presence in their soul. We all know about the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in the soul, right? God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling in the soul in the state of grace. But these great Marian mystics talk about Our Lady's presence in the soul. And it seems that St. Ambrose here, what is he writing in the 4th century or something? Already hinting at that. Let Mary's soul be in each of you. Right? This should be our hope, our desire, by living our total consecration faithfully to the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.